Howdy, partner, and welcome to the April 11th edition of the Laughing Place Podcast. Howdy. My name is Woody.
Howdy, partner.
Howdy, partner.
No. Hey, howdy, hey.
Howdy, partner. My name is Woody.
Shameful.
Joining me today.
There's a snake in my boot.
Are the lovely and talented Jesse, Rebecca.
Hey, howdy, hey.
The improved toy, Buzz Lightyear, Captain John.
To infinity and the Caribbean.
And, of course, the evil prospector himself, Fanboy, a.k.a. Stinky Pete.
Did he fall off his
couch? Ouch, I fell off the...
Oh, that's not right. That's not right. You don't even get it, do you, Doobie?
Now I do. I totally forgot. And as always, we welcome your phone calls at 866-718-9408 because I'm listening. And or you can email us at podcast@laughingplace.com, or you can post a message on the laughingplace.com discussion boards. Once again, that's 866-718-9408. Keep those voicemails, emails coming. It's been a great couple of weeks for receiving those. We love it so much. There's so much we can't play at all, but we will, because then there's other weeks where we get none, and then we get the backlog. So if you don't hear it this week,
it's
don't
like
let
a buffer put in the 21-day list.
Don't let it stop you. And anyway, let's get started. We've got a busy week this week. We're going to start with I don't know. It's a story that seems to have gotten a little bit of play on the internet. I'm not sure if you've heard about it. Last week we talked a little bit about how Small World, are they doing something to Small World in California?
Anybody sounds know? Like it.
Yeah, maybe making some changes. There was some speculation, and Disney decided...
Oh, yeah. I heard that they're adding a couple new fire extinguishers in Scene 4 and an AED in Scene 8.
And don't forget the flume.
Oh, yeah. Stupid fat people.
With the pH. But it's okay.
Yeah.
Word, yo. Isn't it just inhabitants of that planet that WALL-E and all that stuff?
WALL-E.
Anyway, so yeah, last week we talked about our opinions of them adding Disney characters and perhaps change the music and such, and you know it was all based on some speculation of what might be happening because we had no official word from Disney, and then lo and behold, the same day this podcast comes out,
well, we had minor word from Disney. Disney had said that there would be changes.
You're right. And but then the same day this podcast came out, came some real confirmation, and I don't think it's a coincidence myself. But it is.
Yeah,
I have an inflated opinion of myself and my podcast and my website and my people here, the panel, the lovely panel, the LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
And from Marty Sklar, who is, I guess, the WDI ambassador, and I think he used to do some work with Walt back in the day. I mean, this is one of the big wig Imagineers that are around.
Say it as if you don't know. You know full well.
Marty Sklar is about as big an Imagineer as you can get in terms of in terms of stature. Not William Taft big, but in terms of work with Walt. I mean, to all who come to this happy place,
street
I'm not
cred.
Mistaken, Marty Sklar wrote that speech.
He's got street cred.
He
does. And that's why, you know, this letter that came out, I think it was actually written by Walt.
Wow. God, they should put that in the attraction. That people would pay to go see. And what Marty basically said is, yes, we're making some changes. Yes, we know what we're doing. And perhaps you guys can calm down a little bit. I mean, am I putting this in the wrong words, anybody?
No.
The letter came across a little bit angry, and that's kind of surprising. I mean, first of all, it's not
the last time Marty Sklar got angry, turned big and green, and then he really was the largest Imagineer.
It's not very common for Disney to come. Frankly, I can't remember a time period when Disney has come out in any way, shape, or form and said straight to the fan community, basically, you're wrong. You know, they'll put out a nice PR thing saying all the wonderful things we're doing, but this was not that at all. This was a letter to the community, directly to them, and it just struck me as something completely new, and so just thought we'd get maybe some opinions from those of us who've had the opportunity to read that.
Well, I think in fairness, it was more of a direct response to the open letter that was posted by Kevin Blair on behalf of the Blair family, in that he, Marty Sklar directly addressed was that I've heard, as he puts it, that In his letter, Marty wrote, "Now the rumors are swirling that we are, quote, ruining Walt's creation. I've heard that we are planning to remove the rainforest, add Mickey and Minnie Mouse, create an Up With America tribute to effectively marginalize the Mary Blair style and Walt's classic. All not true." This is what Marty writes. And those are direct, I think, I'm pretty sure. No, I know. Those are all statements that appear in that letter. And so therefore, in more than... I don't really think of it so much as a response to the online community so much as an open letter response to the open letter received.
I agree. And when I say fan community, I don't necessarily mean online community, but the diehard people who say something like this just absolutely shouldn't be done, which in this case certainly includes Mary Blair's family, but I don't think it's to the exclusion of the others, in my opinion. I mean, you know, it was sent to us as well. It wasn't just sent to that website or put in the LA Times, odd thing about it. This letter, as far as I know, was sent to a very small group of people, and I believe just online people. It wasn't published in the Times. It wasn't an interview with the OC Register. It was a letter sent to a few websites. And it just strikes me as a very strange thing. It's a very strange way for Disney to go about this. And I don't know if it signals I don't know what it signals. That's kind of why I brought it up. But I just think it's strange.
Well, I think the problem is that they are making a bad decision. And so now they have to justify it. And that puts you in a bad place. Like when they had, remember when Roy Disney wrote that letter?
Right.
And everyone's like, wow, he's right. And then Disney would have to come back and say, well, here's all the thing, and they completely botched it, you know, by trying to say things that insulted Disney fans more than it helped anything else. And so when they have to react, Disney does not react well when they do something badly, because 99% of the time what they do is right. And so they don't know how to handle making mistakes.
Okay. The Roy Disney thing was a situation where a bunch of things had already occurred, and they needed to respond to some very good things Roy was saying. This hasn't occurred. If this is a mistake, you know, there's still time to stop it.
Yeah, well, I think the creative forces behind it, whether you agree with them or not, and I might be wrong. I mean, this letter, maybe I might not hate it as much now, but I still don't like the idea, and I will never like the idea. Even if it's done very well, I will not like this idea.
So even if you like the resulting attraction very much, you don't right. like that they changed Small World.
No, and well, no, I don't like that they changed Small World in this way. The creative forces at work here are supporting the idea. So it's not like a lot of the times the mistakes that were made, the creative people agreed. You know, DCA, I think everybody would have loved to have more money for DCA and thought there's problems with DCA except, you know, the strategic planning group. However, that, you know, so you didn't have folks that are as passionate like Marty Sklar is trying to defend their work. They kind of have to say, yeah, well, we're doing what best we can with what we got.
Right. The other thing that strikes me as odd is, in addition to Marty's letter, on the one hand, is there's a blog, I think it's called Reimagineering, that has open letters from various people within Disney, people like Pete Docter from Pixar, who are saying straight out they are against changing Small World in public, still working for the company at the same time, I think the very same day that this letter came out from Marty. And I just can't think of anything, you know, we've been following this company pretty closely for the past 8 years. I can't think of anything quite like this happening. It's very surreal.
But here's the thing I don't get about the whole thing to begin with, is why spend the money on something people don't like? And still, when you find out that, you know, I would say, okay, you know what, people aren't going to like it, let's go plus something else. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, I don't care what it is. The fact that they're so adamant about doing this is very bizarre. To me, that's what's weird.
Okay.
It's quite peculiar, yeah.
So,
and for me, I guess in many ways, I once again feel like I'm kind of a fan without a home. When the Save Disney campaign was all the rage, while I didn't necessarily embrace the ideals of what Eisner was doing later in his leadership, I didn't really feel comfortable with the, you know, bring back Roy mentality that was the kind of the tagline, save Disney, bring back Roy. And I understood it was a sentiment because he kind of, Roy Disney had been shoved out the door, and in many ways people felt that just Disney in general was being shoved out the door, and I understood that. But the mentality of bring back Roy as what would be best for the company, I didn't really feel comfortable with. And you kind of combine that with a lot of people who were posting editorials and messages about what was wrong with the Disney company, were attacking things as being garbage that were things that I treasured as a Disney fan. The Mickey Mouse Club of my generation, I loved. And one of the editorials on SaveDisney.com really went after it as you know, not worth much and whatnot. And so sometimes I think it's interesting to be in such a passionate fan community because you almost end up kind of just on your own in a way, because you don't end up in one side or the other side, because right. people draw lines in different places with fandom, and you never know. For some, I, you know, there's quite a few people who are posting, Small World, you know, never been one of my favorites. No. If you want to update it and kind of do something to it, that's fine by me. And other people, it's just like the end of their world that this is happening. And I just always find that where we as fans, what kind of is our line in the sand, is it's always interesting to note.
Well, and I think you're never going to find anyone in any sort of whenever you take a position that agrees with you 100% on everything.
Oh, right.
I don't agree with 100% with Save Disney on a lot of things. I agreed with him that Michael Eisner should leave,
oh,
which
definitely.
Was sort of the reason I supported it.
Vote.
But, yeah. But at the same time, I don't, you know, they had a strange fascination with Darby O'Gill and the Little People, which is not a movie I'm fond of, yeah. Yet I, you know, whatever. But, and I think that's, am I going to now be against Marty Sklar because he's supporting this, or Tony Baxter, or any other, Kim Irvine? No, I mean, they've done great work for the last 50 years.
I would hate to see this become an issue that kind of marginalizes Disney fans from each other, I guess is what I'm saying. So
maybe we should split into, like, Disney fan geeks and Disney fan dumps. Like, maybe this is like the Disney fan reformation going on here. I want to be
Martin Luther King. Are you with Small World or you are against Small World?
Going back to the discussion boards you were just reading, one of the things that really surprised me because – in thinking about this in the past, I always thought the one untouchable ride at Walt Disney World.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, because it's the only one.
And Mr. Lincoln and Mr. Bluebird. That's what Rod always taught us. Those are the three misters. Anyway.
What about Mr. Smee?
Yeah, he didn't go with that one. Huh? Or Mr. Rogers. And Small no. World was the was even more than the railroad. They would rip out the railroad tracks before they would take out Small World. It was.
They had to, because the railroad tracks go over Small World.
Nothing is untouchable. But Small World is the most untouchable. And so to hear on the discussion boards that there are people for whom Small World is, you know, no big deal. It's there. Maybe I'll ride it. Not, I mean, forget it. I know. I don't even ride it. But I recognize
see, I do. I
it
can't
is
think of a trip
classic.
Without it. I can't think of a trip without it. Always went on it.
Really? Because you go in like 5 days a week.
Even when we used to be like hour. I mean, I remember waiting hours to ride it. And I remember waiting right. hours to ride it.
No,
and not minding hours.
Obviously, a lot of people ride it. It's very popular. I, however, rarely rode it. Yet I still recognize that it is a Disneyland essential attraction.
It's an icon.
So to find out there are people for whom it isn't, or it's, you know, just another ride, it's dispensable as, you know, the Skyway.
Right.
Hopefully not as dispensable as the Skyway.
Was quite surprising, so.
The funny thing to me in all this, what I've learned is that how much of what my affinity or my, I don't know affinity for an attraction is based not necessarily upon the attraction itself, but on the merchandise surrounding the attraction, because I had the long playing album for It's a Small World, and I had the little Disneyland story reader for It's a Small World.
Not the LP.
No, sorry, the long playing record. And
she bought it at Unical 70.
Well, no making fun of me because I used full brand names, but it wasn't because of that so much as it was the differential between I had the big LP and then I had the little. And the little story album. And the story album was this little boy, like, I think he was from an orphanage. I remember him being, like a little orphan boy.
Be brave,
and they went to Disneyland all together as a little group. And he didn't know where he was from. And so, you know, you're riding through It's a Small World, and he hears the songs from, like, oh, maybe I'm Irish. Oh, maybe I'm, you know, and he's trying to kind of, you know, determine where he's from. And so that's...
Maybe I'm Stitch. So, maybe I'm Sleeping Beauty.
Well, no, that's funny.
Maybe I'm American.
That's why hearing what the changes are, I realize, oh, you know what? I'm filtering that somewhat through my memories because of the album and mm-hmm. because of the little record, not even just because of the ride right. itself. It goes beyond that for me. It's just I thought that was – I never realized how much listening to those records and whatever have – you know, made an impression on me because I got to do that a lot more than go to the theme parks, obviously.
My prediction is still that when this attraction opens, it's going to be very popular.
Small World Holiday, and then a couple months later.
The vast majority of fans will say, yeah, they did a really good job. Obviously, there are going to be people who still say they never should have bothered, but the actual result is going to be very good. Yes,
I think there's going to be a lot of curiosity, and then it's going to fall
really
way down.
Lower than it is right now?
I'd say
well,
so.
Well, not right now. That'd be hard to do.
They must have a really nice construction wall. Disneyland does great construction walls when it's closed for a long period of time.
They have a whole department for that.
Yeah. And with all the rumors that have been floating around, when the walls finally come down, it will be interesting to see what rumors prove out and what rumors do not.
That's a good point.
Because and the sad thing in some ways is we'll never truly know, because maybe some of this stuff will happen, and then in the meantime, somebody will make a change, and mm-hmm. so we as a final result will not really know what happened.
You
so
know,
it's interesting.
One of the things I think is rather, some big word here that I can't think of right now.
Virtuosity.
Yeah, is let's say that they start working on this and people are taking a look and everything and going, you know, this isn't working so well. Or someone says, this just isn't a good idea. They almost can't not do it because then they that puts off.
Right.
If you say Save Mr. Toad will be nothing compared to what will start happening when they try to make changes now. So.
You're saying it would be empowering. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That's the word from my women's studies courses. So, fanboy.
So, Divi.
You've got our fiend in me.
You've got our fiend in me.
Rebecca, what incredibly exciting thing did we get to do today?
We got to go on the Disney Wonder.
Woohoo!
Remember the Wonder. Whoa.
And what incredibly depressing thing did we get to do today?
We had to leave the Wonder without sailing.
You will go sailing no more.
Well, I hope that's not true. I hope I do, but unfortunately...
Next time, it'll be in 3D.
Unfortunately, today, I wasn't able to sail. However, I was able, along with DB, to enjoy the premiere of Toy Story, the musical, aboard the Disney Wonder.
Woohoo!
No, it's...
What they've done is they've taken the very popular animated feature Toy Story from Pixar... And have,
I believe it's Disney's presentation of a Pixar Animation Studios film.
Okay. And they've brought it to life in a new musical, pulling out 10 specific scenes from the film and carrying the story through those 10 scenes and roughly 10 songs. It ran about an hour.
About an hour.
They
used one of the songs from the original movie, right?
Right.
You've Got Our Fiend in Me.
Yes.
They did not use You Will Go Sailing, Not Ever Again, but they added several new songs.
Yes, they did.
Written by whom?
Written by the husband and wife team of Brendan Milburn and Valerie Vigoda.
So that would not be Randy Newman.
No, but it. But I.
It's very Randy Newman-ish.
Yeah, it's kind of an homage.
Homage.
To use that word.
It's missing one critical Randy Newman component.
That's like a mad TV skit or something. It just never goes away.
Shocking at this group.
But it was the staging that we attended. They had a busload of school kids, and they were clearly enthralled by the production. The sequence with Sid's toys, where the creepy little dolls are coming out. The hand came crawling across the stage, and the little girl about five rows in front of me started kind of squealing. I mean, in a fun, like, I'm scared way, but not in the I'm terrified, get me out of here way. It
really,
was very cute.
Really, because the adult female behind me was truly terrified of Sid's room and applauded when they closed it. And then when
right.
I think Buzz walked back behind the curtain,
yeah,
she was like, don't go back there!
You heard her kind of shriek.
Those were some pretty effective.
They were really creepy and well done. The characters themselves, Buzz, Bo Peep, and Woody, as well as the Green Army Men, are what most people would refer to as face characters.
The jungle monk, tumble monk, the monkeys too, right?
Oh yeah,
monkeys,
yeah, but
monkeys
barrel,
in a barrel,
a barrel, full barrel of monkeys.
I hear so that's the musical is at. Even more funny than them.
But they don't really talk.
Who's doing Jessie?
No, that would be Toy Story 2.
What about Bullseye?
No, that would be Toy Story 2. It was funny because
the prospector.
While we were waiting for the question and answer session, the lady behind me was like, wasn't there a girl in the movie? So I finally turned around and said, that was in the second one.
Andy and Sid were played by females, as children often are in Disney productions since Finding Nemo the musical.
Disney productions that are inspired by Pixar Animation Studios.
But see, not in the reincarnation of Steps in Time, where they actually got kids.
That's a good point.
Remember that?
That may not be the best thing for a cruise show.
Well, we want to share a little bit of the musical with you. So here's the first number, a part of the first number. It's called That's Why We're Here, and it's the portion of the film where
That's why
Woody is calming everyone down because it's the birthday.
It's Andy's birthday, and there might be a new toy.
Yep.
I'd hope there is. Poor Andy.
We all gotta have some trust. Cause every time that boy comes walking through that door, he needs to know we'll be right where we were before. That's why we're here, we are the All-Star cast. We're just listening for our cues.
So Woody's standing atop some large building blocks during this part, and there's an oversized toy chest. We'll have pictures and video online. No, not video yet.
No video. How would you describe, you mentioned that three of them were face characters. How would you describe the others? Because they're not typical what we call rubber heads. They're a little something different here.
I called them oversized puppets when I was talking to somebody else about them because they have the mouths move, arms and legs move. Mr. Potato Head's...
takes out his ear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, they fly out. Don't they fly out at one point? Somebody says something that's disturbing and they like pop out.
Oh, okay. I remember him putting in one ear and the other one coming out.
Oh, okay.
And they're not... I mean, they're inflatable costumes.
Yes.
As the costume director described afterwards, or designer... These costumes are inflatable. There's fans inside, which the actors love. It keeps them cool, and that keeps them inflated, and it also creates kind of a toy movement naturally.
Very similar to Carney and Connie-osaurus that used to roam Dinorama at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
In that case, DDW, because those things look hideous up close.
Oh.
They do really well on stage.
Spectacular from the 12th row.
Darkwing Duck. Okay, Distance Does Wonder, I'm with you.
Next up, we're going to share with you a little bit of Buzz Lightyear when he first pops on the scene.
And then one day, I spotted the Ranger training poster, and this is what it said. For the time of your life, and the lifetime of pride, through the storm and the strife, with the stars as your guide, you will beat back the dark till a new day has dawned. For the Space Rangers breed is to infinity and beyond.
I have a question. Does he fly?
Yes.
He does.
He's not a flying toy.
Oh,
well,
no.
He falls gracefully.
Oh.
Isn't that what they always say?
He falls with style.
With style. Falls with style.
He does it all in the movie. He flies, he falls, and he falls with style. All those scenes.
Do they light a rocket?
Yep.
Does it explode?
It would, but he gets rid of it.
Remember? Oh. Yeah. And because
they didn't allow fireworks on the cruise ship.
But the Disney Magic of Wonder, are the two cruise ships allowed to have fireworks?
And another thing that I really appreciated about the way that they handled the story was that a lot of those familiar lines are there.
Mrs. Potato Head.
The line about the made in are you made in Thailand? That Potato Head asks of Buzz Lightyear. And then kind of the pet name, kind of the put down names that Woody has for Buzz, not calling him Lightyear, but like Lightbeer. Yeah.
That was there.
So they have that. And so that was neat because it really, for
there's
someone.
There's a snake in my boots.
Yeah, oh yeah. There's a snake in my boots.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that in the Q&A we had afterward with the designer, the majority of the questions were on the costumes. And
yes.
Me, who cares nothing about such things, my only question was on the costumes too. She talked about how they got the look of the costumes so right. And it was a technique I had never heard of. I'm sure other people have. But what was that?
Well, to be honest with you, it was something I was going to have to study up on even more after hearing about it and wait for their... They haven't put out any particular press releases on it yet. But she described it as that the fabric was digitally printed. And so the denim look of Woody's pants are actually not denim, but rather some digitally printed material. And the way that it's a foam, and so that he has kind of that stuffed leg look rather than just wearing a pair of jeans.
Right.
And so he really looks like a doll.
Interesting.
And on Buzz Lightyear's hands, I think she was saying, was it the, no, it was the Green Army Men, the hands are digitally printed. And because of that, not only do you have that realism of bringing the digital film to life because you are actually bringing that digital film to life.
right.
And the cost and using that material also allowed the elements to not be quite so heavy.
Right.
Who plays the dog?
It's two puppeteers.
Right. And they, I believe with the exception of Jim Varney, they do have all the voices as well for the pre-recorded parts. Obviously Buzz and Woody and Bo Peep are live in the show.
Right. Mr. Potato Head's voiced by
Don
Rickles.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And John Ratzenberger.
Did you do it all at the same time?
John Ratzenberger voices Ham.
John Ratzenberger, my hero.
Yep. And so next up, we have one more song for you guys, and this is One Toy, and it is from the scene where...
I have but one toy, one toy, only for you.
When Andy's mom says that Andy can bring only one toy to Pizza Planet, and Woody considers what to do about the fact that it would not be him.
Be the way they were before. The gall, the nerve. This toy does not deserve to be the one that Andy favors more. The walls of Andy's room are adorned with rocket ships about to blast off. And now I'm tossed aside and I'm scorned. I'm just a washed
cowboy. So, Rebecca, what did you think of Toy Story the Musical aboard the Disney Wonder cruise ship sailing twice a week, 1 4-night and 1 3-night cruise to the Bahamas and Castaway Key?
I loved it. I mean, it makes up, the one thing I was telling people was, I think it makes up for the fact that in order to enjoy it, I have to go on a shorter cruise. Because the Magic sails for 7 days, and the Wonder is the one that gets to take the 3 and 4 day trips. Yeah, so it makes up for that. I'm sad that we don't have for you guys samples of the music from the sequence with the claw. The way they bring the little green men to life with puppets and is just really, really cool. And the music is superb. And Doobie, I think, was in love with the...
I agree. The claw is amazing. I mean, when the little green men, alien...
appear on stage.
Appear on stage. I mean, I'm just staring at them going, what is going on up there? It looks like there's like 50 performers on stage. Each
That's
one is
so
one of these.
Weird.
And it just blew me away. But the thing, as beautiful as the costumes were, as well done as the whole thing was, the thing that almost stole the show... was Sid.
Yes.
Who was played by an amazing young lady, and the song they give her to sing, or give him to
Rachel
sing,
Fisher.
Depending on if you want to think about the performer or the actress.
Wait, that's the same thing. The character or the actress.
The performer or the character, I think, is what you're going for.
Yeah, yeah. Hear what I mean, not what I say. It's cool. It's this heavy metal number. We don't have a clip of it, unfortunately, but it's heavy metal, and he totally plays it up.
With the air guitar.
Air guitar, and he's holding Buzz and Woody
and wearing
sometimes.
A black shirt with the skull.
And,
and
the skull is projected behind him the whole time.
And lots of red lighting with it.
And some of the lyrics are, I'm the Van Gogh of violence, I'm the Rembrandt of wrecking. And
yeah.
It's just awesome. It's a beautiful song. Well, beautiful might not be the right adjective,
it was,
but it's a cool
it was
song.
So, it was so
it's
well
like
done.
A fresh breeze on a warm summer day.
But you could tell after that performance, after Sid's introduced and that song performed, almost every time Sid would appear, you could just feel that everybody's kind of waiting. Okay, what's Sid going to do next? Because the performance was just phenomenal.
Yeah, on the Doobie scale of 1 to 10, I give Toy Story Musical an A+. It is absolutely.
From a scale of 1 to 10,
you give it an
A+.
That's interesting.
That's really, really. It was so much. I mean. I want to go back and see it again now.
I know, and it's hard because...
because you have to go to cruise.
Right now, the stage is somewhere near Key West
like,
or something.
I'm hearing about this, and I'm so curious to see it, but it's like, it's not... You can't just go to MGM Studios or something.
Which
or
is
Hollywood
weird
Studios.
For us, because either we're going to Disneyland soon, or...
Yeah.
And so it's like,
we can
now,
go to the park.
Now we just have to wait until we get on the cruise.
And it was specific... I mean, and they made a very strong point frequently of letting us know that this was specifically designed for the Disney Cruise Line. I mean, because when you do design something for a cruise line, you're dealing with a different type of staging. You're dealing with a different reality as far as performers and whatnot, because you have to fit all the stuff for all three shows within the backstage area. So it's like a little Rubik's Cube of moving stuff around and whatnot to make sure it all fits. And the theater itself is also, you know, state of the art for the cruises, but you know it's a different type of configuration than you might find on shore. So I think they were trying to make it really clear not to be okay. It's coming to a theme park near you.
And as much as I want to see it again, that makes me happy. I mean, the cruise ship, it's you know I can understand Disneyland, Disney World, Cruise and stuff, but the cruise ship is something special, and I like that none of the entertainment on the cruise ship has made its way into a theme park or vice versa.
Here in the States. It's happened overseas. Hong Kong.
No, that didn't count. I mean, it does. I like Hong Kong. Don't get me wrong.
No,
Jackie Chan's one of my
favorite
actors.
I just don't want people emailing you in, you know. No.
No, corrections are for fanboy.
It happened in Hong Kong.
And so speaking of Toy Story, Ryan from California called us last week and told us he needs some help with Buzz Lightyear Space Rangers
Space Ranger.
Or Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters, if you want
Astro
to use the correct
nomenclature. If it's in California.
Yeah, it was in California, so it was Astro Blasters.
Don't you ever correct me again on the air.
Inspired by Disney's presentation of Pixar Animation Studios film Toy Story 2.
You better watch yourself, fanboy.
Oh, no, the big fight. So apparently the tips I gave him were right, which I'm glad to know I didn't lead him astray. He ended up getting $376,200.
Woohoo!
Yeah, very exciting. So he says, because of your wisdom, I didn't lose. He says, but I didn't win either. But I didn't come in last.
Think of it as enjoying the attraction longer.
You're used to that, aren't you, Tony?
So that was very cool. So thanks, Ryan, for letting us know that it worked. So now when I go out to Disneyland, I can have a rock score. What'd you say? It was ranked 75 or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Wow. What period.
That's cool. Oh, that's true. Ranked 75 out of 75.
So moving from the theme parks to something other than the theme parks, our next topic on the LPP today is...
Movie Roundup.
All the Disney movies coming out.
Movie Roundup. Right here every day.
Boom, 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 boom.
Movie Roundup. Come on and join the fray. There's Doobie the Yodelin host.
Yodel lady, yodel lady, yodel lady.
Okay, really.
Fanboy, he's Doobie's horse. He's a smart one.
Or not.
Man. Remind me later to tell my embarrassment in Animation Courtyard. Really, I'll share it with y'all later.
So, fanboy.
You may wish I didn't.
I know in front of us we each have the slate of Disney films for the next, I don't know, 12, 14, 16
decades. I have a
question.
Every time you hear the word slate, do you think of the Flintstones?
Yes. Fred.
Mr. Slate, I got your movie blessed.
What are some of the highlights there?
I'm really looking forward to...
Bolt.
Yeah, right. Tinkerbell, like A Midsummer Storm, the third of the three Tinkerbell movies being released on Disney DVD and Blu-ray disc.
They really already know they're doing three of these things?
Yes.
Wow. And they're all straight to DVD?
Yes, and Blu-ray disc.
Now, I know it's Disney DVD. Is it Disney Blu-ray?
I'm not sure yet. Right now they say Disney DVD and Blu-ray disc. I'm not sure if the Disney is modifying both the DVD and the Blu-ray.
That's why you have to use parentheses.
I know. But, well, we all know Wally's coming out.
Yes.
Bolt, starring John Travolta and Miley Cyrus.
That is so exciting that Miley's going to be in it. She's going to be the voice of Penny, Bolt's human co-star.
Because, you know, Miley Cyrus can only do 3D movies.
Oh, that's funny.
Then we have Up, which we've already heard about, coming from Pete Docter.
With people.
Yes. Or as we like to call it, with people.
John Ratzenberger's going to be in that
Wait
movie.
A second.
No.
Wait, are you sure?
Yeah, it's right there. Ed Asner as well.
Then they're releasing Toy Story in 3D, followed by The Princess and the Frog.
Wait, Toy Story 3?
In 3 No,
Toy Story 3D.
Toy Story 3D. Okay.
Yes. Kind of like if they did a live musical version of it, except...
Is it like a special edition with those scenes that John Lasseter couldn't get right the first time?
They're actually adding human again to it.
And Boba Fett.
The Princess and the Frog...
No,
Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt. And Woody.
Although
will
Boba
shoot.
Fett was in that scene. Right?
And Woody will shoot first.
And Woody shoots first.
Yeah. Oh, dude, not Woody shooting first. We got Princess and the Frog.
I got the T-shirts already.
Yeah. Trying to move on before our geekiness shows. Princess and the Frog, which is a traditional animated film.
Now that's the Frog Princess, right?
Yes.
Yes, aka the Frog Princess.
Toy Story 2 in 3D. Which see, I believe so, see, also
see,
has
Toy
John
Story
Ratzenberger.
Toy Story 2, 3D. See, do you understand?
I'm with that one.
Okay.
But I still don't know about the Blu-ray.
Then Toy Story 3.
Okay.
In 3D.
Which is when?
In June of 2010.
Yes. June 18th, 2010.
So this is 2.5 years away.
Yes.
Then Rapunzel, also in 3D, directed by Glenn Keane and Dean Wellens.
Why do I feel like I'll believe that when I see it?
I'm with you on that.
Because it's been previously announced as coming out earlier, right? I mean, that's a film where the dates keeps moving. Or has it always been 2010 and that we just found out about it a long time ago? Do you remember?
I believe – I don't know. It's been one of those movies that they haven't given a date for a long time. Okay. I don't know if during the Pixar negotiations if they said we're going to do this one, then this one, and then this one. Because I believe they moved those films around too. But I don't know if we actually ever got a date.
Okay.
But now we do. Okay. Which might move time and time again. But believe me.
Oh, yeah. But
– Then we're starting to get into the movies we don't know about. Newt.
Whoa, that sounds compelling. What's that about?
It's – okay, let me
read the thing at the beginning. This is how Disney describes it to us. Can I read this? Is that cool, fanboy? What happens when the last remaining male and female blue-footed newts on the planet are forced together by science to save the species and they can't stand each other?
And I'm going to break some news here that's not in the press release. This movie is directed by Gary Rydstrom, who directed Lifted and was known for his work in sound design. But I'm going to announce the first voice talent for Newt.
Who's that?
John Ratzenberger.
I've heard that this movie is testing very poorly, it's not going to do well. They've made too much merchandise, and this is going to be Pixar's first big flop.
Oh, will you stop? You're so
really? Because, after that, they're releasing The Bear and the Bow, which is directed...
You know what's funny? I've read that about 10 times as The Bear and the Bow.
I have to admit, me too.
I was on a ship today.
I did read it that way once or
twice. The Bear and the Bowels.
The Bear Bowl of the Woods.
Who I believe also has Reese Witherspoon, Bill Connolly, Emma Thompson, and I've got some breaking news for podcast listeners.
Yes.
John Ratzenberger will also be in this film.
By the way, what are you going to do when you're wrong?
Well, same thing I do every week. It's directed by Brenda Chapman, who directed The Prince of Egypt and also had some fun with The Lion King.
Among my favorite Disney movies.
Yes.
Actually, that is about my favorite animated non-Disney movie.
And then Cars 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Directed by Brad Lewis, where sort of like Mater and Lightning go on a world adventure.
Hey, I like the way you described it to me earlier. As
Herbie goes to Monte Carlo, except with Lightning and Mater.
Uh-huh. I like that. That was awesome.
And then finally, King of the Elves, being released by Walt Disney Animation Studios, directed by Aaron Blaze and Robert Walker.
Am I correct that if it's being produced by Walt Disney Animation Studios, it is a 2D animation?
No, it is being released in Disney Digital 3D.
As in? Okay.
Both. CG animation being released 3D. Because, as we know, the creators have a choice of doing it in 2D or 3D. But
Wait. Before you move on, King of the Elves has a connection to Lost.
Really? What is it?
It's the Philip K. Dick connection. I won't say any more than that, just in case Austria's listening. I don't want to ruin Lost. But for those of you who enjoy Lost and are watching the current season, Philip K. Dick is a legendary storyteller, and this movie is based upon his short story. And he is also a book that Sawyer is reading in one of the season's episodes.
See, we could wish we could watch the current season, but right now we're on hiatus.
You want my analysis, which might be totally wrong and exciting. But
okay.
First of all, I find it interesting. They've committed that all CG animation will be released in Disney Digital 3D henceforth, just like DreamWorks did, which kind of stole our thunder, because I believe we did it first with Chicken Little. But
sounds bitter.
But you're not bitter.
Bitter shareholder.
First of all.
We did it first.
Winner, winner, Chicken Little.
There's so much to say there. First of all, the franchises that Pixar has created, there's been two that have been really successful, and that's Toy Story and Cars. And they get sequels. However, and I can't say if there's any pressure there or if they just, you know, whatever. But and Cars 2 happens to open just about the time that Cars Land is supposed to open. Coincidence?
I don't think so.
Well, probably, actually. But none of these movies sound like great franchise potential. Which I'm okay with, but at the same time, you know, I can't imagine, gee, I really want my blue-footed Newt toy. It just doesn't – with the exception of the princess, you know, Princess and the Frog and Rapunzel, which are the Disney versions, mm-hmm. they don't seem jump off of like, you know, create franchise-driven movies, which I think Disney in the dark ages of 2000 to 2005 was really – thinking. They were trying to make movies like Atlantis. We need to get the boy market, so they would make a movie like that.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's the only reason they made Atlantis, but that was very much in their consciousness. Where a movie like Up, they know full well, and this has nothing to do with the quality of Up, but just more of the style of Up, is not really a consumer product movie. And might be a great movie. It might be one of the best regarded movies, but they're not going to be.
Right.
I mean, and I think they try to find a niche with Ratatouille, and I think they're going to try and find a niche with Up. They're going to do more upscale items, more for collectors.
Upscale.
And older folks.
Upscale, yeah. I'm sorry.
People.
Never seen you so serious, fanboy.
He's talking about the heart and soul of Disney.
Franchises.
But he's so
No, because if you think about
so
it,
serious.
Right here we are reading what is about to impact our lives, really, as Disney fans for the next 2 years.
We are reading the future of the Country Bear Jamboree.
Well, no, totally, because this is where the parades come from, the shows come from, the attractions come from, you know. So this is, you know, this is the future. So study it. Be aware of it.
Well, and what's interesting is just it goes so far to 2012.
Yeah.
And that's 4 years. And I'm not saying that in animation time it's not a lot. But
right.
It's they've announced 1, 2, 3, 4 movies that we haven't heard of before. I mean, we all knew Cars 2 was coming, but – you know, and that usually they kind of do like one movie at a time and kind of tease you, whereas this was just really a sort of state of animation address. Because they even brought in, you know, now that Ed Catmull and John Lasseter oversee the Disney 2 studios, even part of the slate is the three Tinkerbell movies, which are being released straight to Disney DVD and Blu-ray disc. So it was really something I think a lot of us wanted from the park segment for a long time. Was
right.
Like, where are you guys heading
mm-hmm.
to? And we got it from the animation team mm-hmm. in New York a couple of days ago.
I am going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that Newt, merchandising-wise, is going to be huge.
Out of all of them, Newt sounds like my favorite. It just seems like it's quirky and cute. And, I mean, I know a little bit more than we said here, and it just sounds like a fun movie. Whereas The Bear and the Bow
sounds like
The Golden Compass or something.
Yeah, The Bear and the Bow to me is the one I'm most intrigued with
that's
myself.
That's Pixar's first action adventure.
Yes.
And it features, the rugged and mythic Scotland, the impetuous, tangled-haired Merida, though a daughter of royalty would prefer to make her mark as a great archer. So that sounds fun.
It just seems like a complete different direction for Pixar, which is
right.
good. One thing I've heard is that Brad Bird has nothing on here, and Andrew Stanton mm-hmm. has nothing on here beyond Wall-E.
Wall-E, yeah.
But I think we've all heard rumors of Brad Bird is doing 1906.
Right.
And also rumors of Andrew Stanton doing John Carter of Mars. So you have a lot of new talent that's available. You
know, I was going to say.
Brenda Chapman.
I found that very interesting that you see a lot of new names in the directors and producers positions here, because recently there was an article where people were talking about how in order to be – you had to kind of get out of Pixar because they had kind of locked into who they were going to use and you couldn't really move up. And they pointed towards Chris Sanders, you know, no longer being there. And I think it's very interesting to see, well, no, actually, maybe that isn't an accurate image, you know, to look at this list, you would question those remarks that were in the paper.
I'm excited about,
I don't know.
Toy Story 3 and Princess and the Frog.
Princess and the Frog seems like fun.
For the record.
Because we'll get to go,
I want a good traditional. Well, we'll see if it's good. But I want a nice traditional 2D princess movie. I'm excited.
I'm now looking forward to Bolt again.
Hey,
I was not looking forward to Bolt once Chris Sanders was not on the project, because I had really enjoyed what he had created with Stitch, and so I was looking forward to where he was going with Bolt. But now that I've learned that Miley Cyrus will be in it for some reason, I'm very excited about it.
And Vinnie Barbarino, don't forget.
Well, I already knew that.
Up your nose if a rubber hose. I think Bolt will be an interesting sort of watermark. You know, the first Disney branded animation movie to come and not have to be completely reworked in the middle like Meet the Robinsons was. I mean,
right.
they had a path with Chris Sanders, but you know, it wasn't half done. It'll be interesting to see how that does. Although I think, you know, Doobie and I were talking. I think Meet the Robinsons.
Mm-hmm.
The more we look at it, the more underrated it is.
Oh, I agree with you. I think I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. And there was a line in Toy Story today that reminded me of it. They were joking around about putting Rex in a Space Ranger costume. And they talked about how they would have to protect his big legs and his tiny little arms.
I don't think that was very well thought out.
And that's what I was waiting to hear. Exactly. I was waiting to hear that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
I'll go.
Yes.
The other movie I'm really excited about, by the way, is Dadnapped.
Really?
Yeah.
Over at the Disney Channel?
Yeah, because, I mean, all the theatrical stuff is nice, but really, when it comes
Dad
down
napped.
To it,
the
we want to sit down
The story of
and
Melissa,
watch
a girl who's left frustrated that her father, a best-selling author, is totally preoccupied with the hero of his spy novels, Trip Zoom, and the fanned activities surrounding the character.
You know what's funny, by the way, to digress, reading these descriptions, is whenever they mention an actor, they put in parentheses the Disney work they've done.
Yep.
Okay, it's not all Disney, but a lot of it's Disney. And there's a lot of parentheses and a lot of commas. They like to reuse the same people over and over again.
Well, I like that Dadnapped stars Emily Osment, Jason Earls, and Moises Arias from Hannah Montana.
Each of
the,
Hannah Montana.
The triumvirate. The David Henry from Wizards of Waverly Place, and Phil Lewis from The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. He plays the adult in that show. However, David Henry might be discerned to know that his sister – that was a stupid word to use there. But anyway, that his sister, Selena Gomez,
yes.
from Wizards of Waverly Place, is in Princess Protection Program.
And this centers on a teenage princess who must escape her country and be placed into a top secret protection program.
And the stars of Hannah Montana, Emily Osment, Jason Earls, and Moises Arias might also want to know that Mitchell Musso, also from Hannah Montana, is starring with Jason Dooley from Cory in the House and Minutemen in Hatching Pete.
The story of a shy high school student who's struggling to be noticed, especially by a special girl he's admired for so long.
What do you have to do, like, you know 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon? You could do that with any Disney star in, like, 2 steps, right?
I think so. And
the Princess Protection Program, it's Princess Diaries in reverse. She's a princess, and she has to go, like, hide out, and so she has to hide, and she has to no longer show. See, it says, hidden in the home of its lead agent, she must now learn to fit in as an average teenager and ultimately show the agent's insecure daughter that she, too, has all the qualities of a true princess. It's like that kind of, she's like, got to, like, not be quite so princessy, but
like
yet she's going to end up making
the
that, yeah.
Popper part.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
The thing I like about Princess Protection Program, or as I like to call it, P3, is it's produced by Daniel Weinstock, who also produced Weeds, which I'm not mistaken, is not on the Disney Channel. Their marijuana show
but
is
it
currently.
It is very popular in our Mystery Machine from last week.
Yes.
Now that's coming in the 2008-9 season, right? Are all of these coming in 2008? I mean, the other ones I don't see listed here with dates, so I was just...
Well, it's the 2008-9 season, all of them. Because these were from they announced this during the upfront presentation, which means it could be fall. I mean, anything after Cop Rock.
Totally.
Which,
Cop Rock?
No, Cop Rock.
What?
How I missed that show. No, Camp Rock. But they also announced a third season of Hannah Montana, a second season of Phineas and Ferb, a second season of something else I'm not remembering.
Wizards
of Waverly Place. And but, you know, Camp Rock.
Do you think Camp Rock has any shot in the world of doing better than any one of these three other Disney Channel movies?
I hope so, because it's being broadcast on every single network we own.
Ooh, can we go over this list?
Seriously?
Let's see.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, July 17th, the preview begins.
That's the day Disneyland
opens. I'm sorry, June 17th. Thank you very much. It just flows off the tongue. On June 17th, Camp Rock on-demand preview begin with the Disney Channel on-demand. That's Cablevision and whatnot. Three days later, Bright House Networks, thankfully. Friday, Camp Rock premiere on Disney Channel US with an audio simulcast on Radio Disney, a video simulcast on Sprint and Mobi TV devices, and also on the Family Channel in Canada. The next day, it'll be on ABC television on June 22nd.
You might have heard of that. It's related to the Disney Channel.
On June 22nd, it's going to be on ABC Family. On the 23rd, it'll be on Disney.com in DXD. A week after its cable premiere, it's going to have a rock-along programming event on the Disney Channel. So the songs will be visible on the screen and via DisneyChannel.com so you can sing along. And then in July...
That's our Doobie and I favorite version.
It'll be on the Disney Channels in Latin America. August 19th, it's coming to DVD with exclusive bonus features. And then it'll also... it's releasing around the world on DVD in November. In August, it comes to Disney Channel Japan. In September, Disney Channel's India, Southeast Asia, Korea, Taiwan, UK, Spain, Portugal, Germany, France, Italy, Australia, and New Zealand. Scandinavia has to wait until October.
Yeah, what's up with that, Austria?
Oh, yeah, Austria.
That was Scandinavia. What?
Back in June 27th, it's going to be on ESPNU.
Oh, you stop. It's not there. You silly. Oh, and then the soundtrack comes on June 17th, the same day that it appears on Disney Channel On Demand. That's when the album will drop.
So when we do our podcast and we review the film before it airs, it's just because we have Disney Channel On Demand.
Fanboy.
Yes, sir.
You are so in touch with the Walt Disney Company. Does Disney have high hopes for Camp Rock?
Yes.
Really?
So you know how printing money is illegal? Disney's found a loophole.
And their name is the Jonas Brothers.
Nick, Kevin, and the other one. I can never remember his name. Joe. That's why, because they're the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah,
I remember Joe.
Why did they name the kid Joe Jonas?
Not sure.
It's like the VP of Food and Beverage at Walt Disney World. Rose Mary Rose.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I hope that's her married name.
That's interesting.
It's Rose Mary Rose?
No, it's Rosemary Rose.
Okay.
So for those of you who don't yet know the story, Camp Rock is the story of a talented yet unsure teen who yearns
Who's
to share her
part?
Songs with the world, and of a tempestuous young superstar who's lost his passion for music and is sent packing by his bandmates. Together at a camp for aspiring young music artists, they learn to believe in themselves and to value the freedom to be who they really want to be. And I don't know who plays that, to be honest with you. Fanboy, you just asked. The girl?
No, it's Demi Lovato from Disney Channel's As the Bell Rings.
Oh, okay.
Never even heard of that one.
That's a click show.
Yes. It's only 2 minutes long.
Yeah, it's just a 2 minute. It's in betweener.
It's an interstitial.
It's an in betweener. Tweener. So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to this. Nick, Joe, and Kevin are fun. And
I've got a question about Camp Rock though.
Okay.
Do you think the real star might have a cameo appearance?
See you later, trash can.
You guys are disturbed in the head.
I was just going to go there.
You guys are so disturbed in the head.
All right.
This will be fun. I'm just surprised that they aren't like, you know, they have all these announcements. I'm surprised it's like, and tune in June 10th for the premiere of song, you know, I Love You Forever on DisneyChannel.com so you can learn the words before the movie comes out. You know, I figure that's got to be coming too.
I would not be surprised if a song from High School Musical 3 is premiered during one of these. Speaking of High School Musical.
Will there be popcorn?
Who directed this? Kenny Ortega was busy.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a churro. High School Musical. The big news on that.
Yeah.
High School Musical.
Quattro.
Which I believe is The Voyage Home.
It's the new school, right?
Yeah. But Screech will still be there for some random reason. And Principal Belding.
Do we know if it's a new cast?
They have intimated that it is mostly a new cast. Which to me means it won't be Zach or Vanessa or Ashley.
I heard Mrs. Darvis might return.
Might make the cut.
Yeah, I kind of expect that kind of thing. And then I'm wondering if some of them, simply because of the age they were when they filmed the younger part, even they were kind of on that. I'm wondering if now they might not really.
Well, isn't one of them now doing a kind of a risque part on Broadway?
I think you're thinking of Harry Potter.
Ooh, the other one. Okay, I'm sorry.
That would be the Harry Potter films.
Okay.
Which they're making an extra one of.
That's just brilliant.
Yeah.
That's like
so
some of
brilliant.
The best marketing ever.
This is news. Of course it is.
The Harry Potter finale is going to be broken out into two films.
Split into two. So he can be in Social Security when they film that
one,
right?
Pretty much. It's awesome.
Wow. Obviously, we just came from spring break, and I was a little busy around here with all the spring break phenomenons. But I'm excited. I mean, we have Disney Channel doing their upfront and stoked about it. You're in pilot season for ABC, and they got some neat stuff that hopefully we'll be able to talk about soon. The, you know, parks are doing Toy Story, and we're starting to hear a little bit about Magical Celebrations. And not only do we have the animation slate coming, but the live action stuff is coming into development. We're finally hearing word about the Stan Lee partnership. Mm-hmm. There's even some talk about some other things that I can't talk about this week, but hopefully we'll talk about soon. This is an exciting time. This is the stuff that I wish they talked about at the shareholder meeting.
And you've got a parade now getting ready to open with the anniversary of Tokyo's Disneyland.
Tower of Terror opened in Paris.
The Tower of Terror opening event in Paris. Look online for the video. That was amazing.
Where can I find that?
Specifically on laughingplace.com.
That was, well, did we post it on?
Laughingplace.com is the only place you'll find
it. Oh, really? Oh, okay. I thought maybe you shared it over with YouTube. I know you do that from time to time.
Sometimes they ask me for some stuff, but I tell them, you know, this time I'm going to let them come to my side.
Okay, fine. So, yeah, so you have to be sure.
They got bought by Google. It's kind of gone to their head.
Oh, stop. There's Tokyo with the new parade. So it's all.
Cruise line
with the musical.
And the thing to top it all off to make Fanboys Day even that much better is what Rebecca's going to read right now.
Dear LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
Last week's podcast was really interesting. We enjoyed hearing about your Disney backgrounds. Captain John, your story about acting out the Pirates of the Caribbean ride in your backyard was amazing.
Aww.
One thing Doobie and Rebecca didn't discuss that we were hoping they would is the time they spent living in Celebration, Florida. In an archived podcast, Rebecca mentioned that she and Doobie lived there. What was that like? How long were you there? And would you recommend it? Also, over the weekend, our Western Disney fan club, Club 33,
it's my girls.
Got together and watched Robin Hood. We had a blast. But
Lally.
We all expressed...
We're men. Oh.
No, wrong. No, this would be the oodalali.
Gollywood day.
But we all expressed that we wanted the songs from the movie and haven't been able to find them. Do you have any suggestions about where to go to buy music from our favorite Disney movies that are not on the Disney Greatest Collection CD? Keep up the spectacular podcast, Fanboys Fan Club.
Yes. Start recording... Now.
No.
Robin Hood and Little John rocking through the forest.
You don't know any more of it. And I'm very
thrilled. Oodalati, oodalati, golly, what a day.
Did he even
the phony king of England.
My favorite is dee da dee da dee dee do do.
Which is the hamster dance. Which is the hamster dance, which was not made by the Blue Man Group, which everybody wants to say for some reason.
I know, that's so weird.
That's never been released, the Robin Hood soundtrack? I mean, you know, in modern times.
To be honest with you, I am not even sure on that. I will have to double check. And
well, it seems to me in the back of my head, which, you know, not very useful. It may have been on the kiosk back in the day in the 20th Century Music Shop.
Is it on iTunes?
I'm wondering. I was going to say, the one place that I think is really helpful to check for classic Disney stuff is iTunes. They release a lot of albums. I will tell you, it is difficult sometimes to actually find that content. If you're looking for that Robin Hood album, you'll do fine. But if you want to just kind of browse around for the Disney stuff, it's a little bit more complicated to just kind of browse for the classic Disney archives.
Are they selling King Louie and Robin Hood still, though? That is one weird album.
That is
album.
A weird album.
You know what ties those folks together? Phil Harris.
Yep.
We have a correction on that, but that'll have to wait till next week.
What?
Oh, wait till next week, then.
Wait, Phil Harris didn't voice Baloo?
Celebration.
Yep.
The weirdest thing about, we lived there since we moved here in March 2004. We stayed until right about a year, pretty much exactly a year. Great place to live. The weirdest part is the guys in the black glasses on the street corners making sure everyone's following the rules.
Oh, the pill you had to take every day at 3.
Well, you get used to that, actually. Okay. It makes you happy.
Really?
Yeah.
That explains the dog.
No, seriously, though. What was Celebration like? It's pretty much like any place else, isn't it?
I guess.
I liked it.
No, I...
This is going nowhere.
No, it's just... It's hard to talk about because people have this kind of... Okay, I will tell you. It works well for me because I don't mind conformity to some extent and a certain neat and prettiness right. to things and that kind of thing. And that's really how it is. It's the houses are really beautiful. We had a little apartment on the North Village. Is that what it was called? Yeah, the North Village. So we were close to the water tower area, and it went condo, and we didn't want to buy, so we moved. And I liked it because... It was very walking friendly. You could just walk out your door, and there were lots of little nature paths and nature trails, and they have several community pools there. And as a resident of Celebration, you would get a card key, and you would just wave it in front of the gate, and you could be let into this pool. And the pools were lovely, very well maintained. And I guess that's just everything about it was just that it was so well maintained. So you could just really enjoy it. You could sit in a rocking chair by the main the lake on Market Street, which is like their main street,
right.
And then it hosted a lot of events during the year. And that was fun because, you know, like Halloween would come around and they... Oh, seriously, they bus in kids from around the area to come to Celebration for Halloween. It's insanity.
Yeah, don't drive through there because it will take you all night just to get from one end to the other.
It's amazing. And July 4th, they have a lot of special stuff. They have the kids decorate their bikes and have a parade. I mean, it's like recapturing the small town America, but yet... Without,
everything's very modern.
Yeah,
at the same
exactly.
Time.
Your Wi-Fi everywhere, you know.
It's like Main Street USA without the tunnel. But
the best part about Celebration, though, is the movie theater, I say.
It is.
Because you're the only one who's in it, and it's like...
There's one thing missing from that movie theater, though.
More than two screens?
They do not have the Movie Watcher Network, which means they do not have the song. You know my favorite part of when you lived in Celebration?
Parking?
Yes, actually. And your solarium.
I liked the solarium.
Me too.
Because that's where you slept.
Yep.
Yeah. Living in Celebration.
That was like a guest room.
Yeah, you kind of want to say, you know, it's really not that different than any place else, but actually it is.
It was. Yeah.
It is different for all the reasons she said. It's weird. The one thing you notice, except you don't notice it until it's pointed out, is there's no driveways as you're
right.
driving along. All the driveways are in back. All the doorways are raised, so there is an actual front porch everywhere.
Yeah.
BGM.
There's background music in the main street, which is called Market Street.
And at the hospital. As you're walking up to the hospital,
it's a beautiful hospital.
There's
by the way.
Beautiful music.
I don't even call it a hospital because that's like too negative.
Like a hotel for sick people.
Yes.
and the
it's a hotel where people die occasionally.
And the walkways in the hospital are carpeted until you get actually into the hospital room.
Yeah. So it is a nice place to live. Now it's not for everyone, as
no.
Rebecca said. Our friend, one of our friends, came and visited, and it just drove him crazy the way everything
was
so uniform.
Crazy.
I mean, you know, it's
well. For example, your windows. The curtains have to be white or wood, or I think you can have
wood. They
don't
have to be curtains, but they have to be white.
Okay, it does have to be white. I thought that you were allowed to have natural wood, but you're probably right. No, I'm pretty sure you're right. Yeah, white either shades or curtains, and you know, for some people that's a deal breaker. You know.
But the one thing it's not is Disney. There's
yeah.
Other than the fact you're used to Disney being this kind of idyllic place, it's not Disney. The background music isn't Disney. There's no Disney anything other than the fact that there's a lot of Disney offices located there.
Yeah.
So and
you'll see cast members walking around or going to lunch or whatever, but there's there's nothing Disney about the place. There's no Disney stores there at all or anything.
No, there's no Disney branding.
About the most Disney thing about it is the fact that you see Ike everywhere.
Yeah, the adult who you will recognize as the child star of Escaped and Returned to Witch Mountain.
I actually heard them talking about that at the next table today, how they were talking about being in Celebration, how, yeah, you see him all over the place.
Oh, well, because he's very active in his community. I think that may be the story that they heard that I was talking about, where one of the nice things that they have is the first Thursday or the last Thursday of the month or whatever, they have like a new residence night. And you go and you meet all the new people moving into Celebration and they have, it's hosted by, you know, people who have been there for a long time, and then it's catered by one of the restaurants there in the town, so you get to know their food. And I mean, it's a neat little evening, and you find out all the various groups. They have a seniors club, and they have four or five different churches there, and they have just a lot of little activities that you can take advantage of. If you're somebody who really wants to kind of get involved in your local community and whatnot, it's an ideal place. It really is. I'm honestly, if I had the kind of money to buy the kind of house I would like there, I would totally do it.
Yeah, so send your checks to us.
The thing for me is that, honestly, the houses there are so large. They're much larger than I need, and so therefore they're far more expensive than I would want to pay because I don't need that much house. Doobie would love to live there. Doobie would just...
In any community with an official song by Kool and the Gang, it's got something going for it.
Oh, stop. That's funny.
Yahoo!
And you're, what, like 5 minutes? If you're anywhere in Celebration, you're probably, what, 7 minutes from from Epcot?
Yeah,
I mean, and that to me is the center of Walt Disney World is Epcot. I don't know why. I just determined that.
Because of the big globe that things rotate around.
Oh, okay. Well,
gravity.
You're Newton. 7 minutes, so there you go.
Newton? Yeah. Let's see. Pirate Princess X, who last week won the Enchanted DVD, writes,
"Yar,
I'm writing to give you my address."
And here it is.
She also said she wanted us to autograph the Enchanted DVD, guys, so don't forget that.
Wow, now it's no longer
valuable.
Yeah.
And then
we
she
heard
writes,
that song twice on the Wonder today. That's how you know.
Yeah, that
she
song gets
loves
in your head.
Me. That's one of those songs sounds like that in the movie.
Remember last week we got the voicemail from Mrs. Elder P talking about how she convinced them about the ducks and everything.
Yeah.
Right.
XPPX is built on that.
Oh, wow, cool.
On another note, about pulling people's legs in Pirates of the Caribbean, the ride.
The hairy one? Yeah.
Well, his head fell off before.
Stay in the vehicle. Don't reach that far.
I went to Disneyland with about 150 high school students. On our way to the first stop...
Oh, that's a dream come true.
On our way to our first stop, we watched Pirates 3. When we were on the ride, we went... Wow. That's a long... Where was the stop? At, like, New York or something? When we went on the ride, we went down the two drops, and then I told one of the girls with me, she's a freshman, that the scene where they rocked the pearl to flip it was at the end of the Pirates ride. She flipped out, thinking we were going to go upside down on a water ride. I had to laugh, but then I was nice and told her that, no, we don't go upside down. We just go up another hill and gently go down. But that same girl ended up going on the Matterhorn 3 times in a row. I think she got over her fear of Disney rides. There's a name for that, I think.
Disney ride phobia, artificialis, Disney Swiss Family Treehouse.
I sometimes listen at work, so could you please give a shout out to my second period freshman in Mrs. Ocampo's Avid class?
Thanks. Mrs. Ocampo?
That's a good question. I don't know. It's not this person, but that's who we're going to give a shout out to in a moment. Thanks, LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
Q fanboy, and keep up the great work. Pirate Princess X.
Did you say
so,
Q fanboy?
Yep.
Yes, she did.
Fabulous.
So let's give a shout out to the freshman in Mrs. Ocampo's Avid class.
Somebody's bitched the Monsters, Inc. laugh.
There's your shout out. Hello, Mrs. Okapi's freshman English class.
Especially that guy. So, if you guys are listening to us in school.
That's awesome.
Do we get, makes us tax deductible?
Are we in the
all
teacher
stuff?
Union now? What's going
on? Are
That's
we,
very
do we have to get
cool.
certified?
Do they
get
CEU units?
I don't know.
It's very confusing.
I wish I could have done
Stop
that in my school.
Stop hitting her. Stop it. I see you. I'm watching. Always watching.
A fast pass does not double as a hall pass.
And nothing that you learn on this podcast will help you later in life. Trust me.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Avogadro's number is 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd. What's something English that we could teach him? Imperatif is a... French word, which I don't know why I'm saying that, has nothing to do with English, for palate cleanser.
I think we always properly use the word whom.
Oh. If you ever need an adverb, go to Lolly.
Captain, why don't you teach them something that really might come in use someday?
All right. Last time I asked a kind of a tricky question because, you know, it involved, you have to know knowledge of the Disney theme parks this time around. Usually I like to pull from movies, you know, that's my usual tradition. But this time I asked, when you enter Pirates of the Caribbean and you look to your right when you enter, you know, the building, whose portrait do you see?
D.L. Theo.
D.L. Theo is in fact the winner, but that wouldn't be the answer.
Somewhere.
Barbossa.
Yes, Captain Barbossa. Oh, wow. Or Captain Hector Barbossa.
His name is Hector?
It's funny because
Hector?
I think at one point, I think it was an inside joke at one point in time, and then I think Johnny Depp actually incorporated it into the film. So now he's officially Hector Barbossa.
Like Yenfit.
You know, Hector is Recte spelled backwards.
I could see the wheels turning over there, and it wasn't a pretty fight.
So there you go. So D.L. Theo is in fact the winner of this Captain Challenge, which means you are now the proud owner of a Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End watch.
So send that email to podcast11place.com. Give us the address where you want that watch sent to. Let us know if you want Captain to autograph it for you, and we'll get it right over.
That would require some talent, I guess. It's a watch. I mean, no. Anyway, you know, with all the talk of Toy Story today, I thought I'd ask you a Toy Story-related question.
Cool.
Who's the voice of the little green aliens in, you know, the Pizza Planet squeezed away?
John Ratzenberger.
Phil Harris.
Tom
Sterling Holloway.
Tom Hanks' brother, actually. No, I'm kidding.
It was Walt Disney, but then it became Jimmy McDonald.
Then it became Wayne Allwine, and then he actually married Mrs. Potato Head.
So there you go.
Originally Royal Drano, and then they...
And what's funny is that... Royal Drano.
And then they changed it to Frank Liquid Plumber.
I was taught to remember the name because she said it's like Drano. And I kind of forgot it's not Drano. It's just like Drano. The original voice of Mr. Lincoln was Royal Dano, which I inadvertently called Royal... Comet. So I apologize for
It turns, makes your lips turn green. Comet. It tastes like Listerine.
Guess
Comet. It makes you vomit. So have your comet and vomit today.
You must plunge.
So I'm guessing we didn't run the answer with this little ditty.
No, but it's funny. I was looking up because I remembered this from way back when, and I actually looked him up on Wikipedia right before I asked this question, and he does not have a Wikipedia page.
Whoa.
You can fix that.
We should correct that right away. Is it at least red?
It's not red. It redirects you someplace else. It redirects you to another page.
That's interesting.
Oh, dear.
Okay, well, thank you, Captain. And do we have a prize this week? Probably not.
I got something in my car.
The winner of this week's contest will receive a prize.
A prize which includes us saying your name on the air.
Yeah, and maybe something more, but no guarantee.
Maybe something more, but no guarantee.
Thank you, Captain.
And you can turn it down once you find out what it is.
Yes. Second prize is two.
We entered a contest, and we lost!
All right, so there you have it.
And now it's time for my favorite part of the show.
It's your favorite part of the show?
That's not called Popcorn and Churros. Fanboy.
See, I was all geared up for it.
Sorry about that. Sorry,
throwing me off now. Yeah.
Fanboys Disney Myth. Cue theme song. End theme song.
Anesthesia on. This podcast has been powered by Microsoft Sync. Here's a Disney myth for you. So I was in line for Star Tours at Disney's Hollywood Studios the other day.
Yes.
And I'm on the attraction. It was just me. And the person next to me says, "You see the microscope? That's because this used to be Adventures Through Interspace." Contrary to popular belief, Adventures Through Interspace was never at Disney's Hollywood Studios or Disney MGM Studios.
Oh,
it was only at Disneyland. However, they decided not to digitally remove the microscope for subsequent editions.
Does the DBS version have a little Omnimover in the baskets that are going around?
An Omnimover? No.
What are they called? What are those things called in the...
Automobiles.
Automobile. Oh. Which is an Omnimover.
Yeah.
Do they have an Automobile in one of the clams, in one of the baskets going around?
One of the clams?
Like they do at Disneyland?
No.
No?
But they do have the People Mover going through for some random reason.
Who sponsors Star Tours these days?
Nobody. In fact, if you go there, you can see that they have a fabric sign that replaces the old hard sign. And I kept going, why did they replace that with a fabric sign? It's because they had to remove the bunny. And because it is no longer sponsored by
the bunny,
Energizer.
Thank you, fanboy.
You're welcome.
Well, I actually have a Disney myth too.
Okay, wait, Captain John's Disney myth.
I am I'm hijacking this segment for a moment, as I do, being that I'm piratey. So anyway, I've been fortunate enough to talk to some of the tourists around town lately for the past couple of days.
Wow, aren't you lucky?
And I'm noticing a trend, which I cannot understand, that every time, I can understand. People say Epcot Center. Okay, it used to be Epcot Center. People say Disney's Animal Park. Okay, you're just, Animal Kingdom's, not necessarily the first thing that comes to mind. But Magical Kingdom, okay? Every person in reference to Magic Kingdom has called it Magical Kingdom. And I'm trying to figure out, where this is stemming from. It's like, is there an ad campaign maybe? I don't know. It doesn't.
Magical gatherings are just really delayed.
Okay. At least they're not calling it Disney World.
Yeah, I used to hear that a lot too, and I could sort of understand. But Magical Kingdom.
And the people at the TTC that always just call it the parking lot drives me up the wall.
Disney MGM Studios, I've been hearing too.
Well, that makes sense.
That's understandable.
I hear that a lot.
You know what, another Disney myth that's bugging me is all the analysts saying that no one's visiting the Disney theme parks. I can't speak on Disneyland, but have you been to a Disney theme park lately?
They've been quite crowded when we've been there.
Popular. Yeah,
We went to
DBS.
Yeah, and there were a lot of people there. I mean, you can't walk in. I mean, we were there late in the day, too.
We couldn't get reservations from Mama Melrose.
Well, you know what? I can't think of any time in my life I've ever been able to just walk up and eat at Mama Melrose.
Really?
No, you have to call.
You walk up. No, but what you do is when you get there first thing in the morning, then you make, if you want to eat there, then you make your reservation. But,
I always thought of that as like the sleeper restaurant nobody would eat at.
We've never, we had a plan to eat there when we wanted to.
They have a counter there that they don't use. Perhaps they find
I know.
A solution.
But, yeah.
But we did enjoy a marvelous meal.
A marvelous.
It was simply marvelous at the Sci-Fi Diner. Have you been there?
I've been to
the... Ah! Sorry, every time I go to Sci-Fi,
dude,
I just think of...
Kill my ears.
They didn't
see,
actually
we all
do
wear
that.
Headphones all this...
Yeah, so don't feel like
this.
You suffer alone. We all suffer through that.
I actually compress it before I put it out there.
Oh, man. That
the,
was brutal.
I think there was like one busboy in the kitchen who screamed along with the movie.
That was funny.
They're not keeping up with their running joke?
No, that's cool. Okay, though.
But we had a really good
don't
time
do
there.
Don't do it.
Thanks,
fanboy. I don't want to grow anymore!
My favorite is always when you're there and you hear the kids ask, going, wow, is that a real movie? And Dad's like, yeah, I saw it in theaters.
The Amazing Gila Monster.
Gila Monster.
Gila Monster.
Gila.
You're thinking of Gigli.
You say the three caballeros, too, don't you?
And
Jalapenos. Tortillas.
It's almost time for us to sign off here.
By the way, the food is really good. They changed the menu.
This stupid exterior poured out. It's just a facade.
Which is a stupid word, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, please. Never get them started on the facade. But yeah, they changed the menu up, and you had a seared tofu that was
seared
phenomenal.
Seared marinated tofu with some really yummy
so
rice under it.
Yummy. And the chili was spicy and tasty.
And
the salad.
The chocolate.
We had mixed greens with ranch dressing, and it was a bruschetta on top instead of just simple tomatoes. So you had marinated tomatoes with a lot of garlic, and the garlic with the garlic ranch. Oh, it was just
yeah,
because
it said ranch
really
dressing,
good.
But it wasn't just like ranch
no,
like you get out
like
of
garlicky ranch.
Yeah,
it was really yummy.
And our server, 15 years from Morocco.
Yeah,
very nice.
12
guy.
Of them. Did you say 12 of them were
12
at?
Here? The other three were between Hollywood and. Is it Vine or Dine?
Hollywood and Vine.
Hollywood and Vine
and
Prime Time. And then like 12 years. He's been here since it opened.
And he really
seems
to like
it. He must
never
want to see a sci-fi movie ever again.
He seems like he's really enjoying it.
It's
that
cool,
was awesome.
Though, because in Sci-Fi Dan, I know I can hear you scream. So before we close today,
sci-fi dinner.
We're going to go around the table and get a final word. But before we do that,
sci-fi dinner.
It was a sci-fi dinner.
I know.
It's just funny.
Fanboy and I are going to give our 50-word or less movie review for Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner 21, which is not a Disney film, by the way. You
now,
go first.
Who released it? I don't remember.
I have no idea.
Who cares? You know what this movie could use?
What?
Blackjack. Very little blackjack. A lot of...
It did have Jack Black, however.
It did. When he started singing, it really... It was my least favorite of the Vegas showgirls they had in this film. They did not have a lot of blackjack, a lot of kissy, kissy, chicken, kissy, and I wasn't a big fan of that. And too much personal stuff, not enough cool Vegas action. And I mean that as in like...
There actually was one scene of Vegas action.
I meant that in the... gambling sense.
It's a Columbia Pictures release.
I read the book. This movie was very, 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 very loosely based on. For word count, that only counts as one very, by the way. And the book was literally the best
book. So what's the count at right now?
I've ever read.
Is it plus three?
And the movie, compared to the book, was... I mean, the movie's never as good. This was an extreme disappointment compared to the book. It's, however, taken on its own, especially with the hindsight of a week now, not that bad. Decent movie. Not great. Way too much girly stuff. Not enough blackjack. But still, a cool idea.
Worst movie we've seen all year, though.
But, no, I disagree. I'm putting it ahead of College Road Trip.
Fool.
Idiot.
Moving on.
No, no. I want a final. One, scale of 1 to 4. No heavies.
1 to 4.
Like, no, I don't like that. Scale of 1 to 10.
4. Yeah, 4.
6.
All right.
All right.
We disagreed a lot for just being a two-point differential. That's within, like, one standard deviation, isn't it?
All right. Now it's time for the penultimate part of the show.
Which means not last, but the one before last.
Yeah. And that would be final words of wisdom or fanboy from our esteemed and fanboy panel. Let's start with fanboy.
So I happen to be at the Kingdom. Magic Kingdom, that is.
Magical Kingdom.
Yeah, right. And one day, and they made my dream come true. Or at least that's what they kept telling me over the loudspeaker.
The WWE girls came?
Someday. No. The Thunderbirds flew over, I guess, not only Epcot, but also Magic Kingdom.
The fabulous T-Birds from Roller Derby, LA? No, probably different. Go
ahead. A couple of airplanes. And they... In moments, they flew over, which I guess those moments ended up being long because there was bad weather. But
maybe.
For 3 hours, we waited, and we finally saw the Thunderbirds, and it was really cool. I mean, I've seen flyovers a lot, but they went over 5 times.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
They were awesome. They would do tricks. They had, like, a little plane that would actually, like, precede them, and it did neat things. It went upside down and stuff. It was awesome.
Cool, and they had a camera hanging down for Soarin', too.
Electric Boogaloo.
They're the Thunderbirds. They do cool stuff.
So picture it.
Sicily.
You're Marceline, 1900, and suddenly Thunderbirds come and attack. And I realized the reason they probably kept making announcements is so people throughout the park didn't go, why are there bombers flying overhead?
They're the addition to the Pearl Harbor, backlot tour sequence.
Can you imagine?
I'm just glad that they made sure that they told everybody.
They're doing harbor attack.
Harbor attack.
And then, and you know what's sad though? You still wouldn't be able to see it on those screens.
I wonder if it's... Oh, just the thought of that. Beautiful. Thank you, Captain, so much. Speaking of Captain, I believe it's your turn.
He's an animatronic that could take off his ear.
Now, what does he bring his hand up, grab an ear, take it off his head?
He takes it off of his head. And he puts it back in
that
and lets go.
That can't be happening. That can't be happening.
What?
Mr. Potato Head. Have you seen the video of the animatronic?
Shut up.
Oh, sorry. I need to put my ear back in.
Yeah, he does the same shtick, too. But that was just one of the most... That's one of the, like, not just the ear part. But...
Does he, like, ever miss and, like, try and stick it in his eye? Like, doink, doink.
And that's how come he wears
so
a patch.
So you're referring to a YouTube video of Mr. Potato Head. Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah,
Mr. Potato Head! Mr. Potato Head!
Apparently there was some sort of preview over at a California Adventure where they showed off Mr. Potato Head. And it's just the most amazing animatronic I have ever seen. Like, he has, like, his lip movements. He could, like, you know, with most animatronics, like in Pirates of the Caribbean, they just kind of open their mouths. Right. But this, he, like, he could shape his mouth in different ways, and his eyes are... It's just very impressive stuff. And he could take off his ear.
Wow.
And put it back in.
I'm glad they used that in a queue instead of, you know, an attraction.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite impressive. It would definitely get my attention if I was
just waiting
by.
For all those people. They're going to have to move them because all these people are standing outside. blocking.
That's the one thing. It was like, he's just kind of out there in the open. I mean, he's like in his own, like, fenced off area and everything. But you think, like, somebody's going to chuck something at him.
What happens if he goes 101? Like, because you can't just cycle out.
Well, he probably has a curtain.
The park.
Right? I think he has, like, a curtain that goes around him. Because he's on, like, a little stage and everything. And he does a little song.
I'm excited about that. And Toy Story Mania.
Toy Story Mania.
And the reopening of Mickey Avenue. And the best part, we went to Mickey Avenue yesterday. We looked.
Yes, I was there. Thank you.
Everything is down. You know, all the movie posters that used to be up there are all down. Except, according to Jim. Still there.
You know what's cool about Mickey Avenue? The new Monsters, Inc. meet and greet location?
It was cool.
That has some neat little
touches.
That
was cool.
Lots of...
It was really cute when Sully came in, he hit the time card machine, and then he...
Tapped his foot waiting for Mike Wazowski.
Yeah, and then around the walls were various signs like, you know, be sure and wash your hands, don't eat the soap.
We should have this up on LP by the time you hear this.
Okay, cool. Because I'm glad, because we took pictures, and I'm glad to know that other people will see them other than me.
But you see them first, because you're special.
Because I have to caption them and edit them and make them look pretty, as hopefully.
You got any words for us?
Sure. This week, they announced that they're going to be closing VMK in May, right?
Yes.
Okay. I forgot to write down when.
When I heard this, I was like, I thought it closed like a year ago.
Well, yeah, because it was part of the...
Go Network.
No, it was part of the Disney 50th birthday thing, right? Isn't that when it launched?
Yes, Happy Celebration.
And then they had, for a while, they had the little, you could go to the theme parks, you would print out your treasure hunt, and then go to the theme parks and get trading cards based upon filling that out, which would get you neat little things. And for those of you who don't know what VMK is, it's the Virtual Magic Kingdom, and it's in essence an online theme park where you create an avatar and you move around and you interact with people and play games, and it's like, you know, going to Disneyland but on the computer. Well, it's going to close its gates, as they say. It's cute. VMK will cease to operate and will close its virtual gates on May 21st, 2008 at 10 p.m. And reading the message that was posted the other day, you just get the impression that the time has come for it to move on, that it served its purpose, and that they're involved in various other projects, the people who had originally created this. And so they point you to Toontown Online. They point you to Pirates of the Caribbean Online. So,
which,
you know,
makes me think of something. Like, I wonder if they're going to start incorporating that sort of theme park, you know, how they had, like, the cards and everything and the treasure hunts and everything, if they're going to try to incorporate that with Pirates Online or Toontown Online. Because it seems like, you know, maybe they could have some sort of promotion where, like, on Pirates of the Caribbean they have some sort of thing you're supposed to look for. If you, like, type in whatever it said, then, you know, equal something online. I wonder if they're going
really
to do more cross-promotion with that.
I'm
like
really looking forward to whatever results out of the testing that they did with people using Nintendo DSs that were able to interact with locations within the park and get information and whatever, because I can't imagine that it will just be only a in essence a real-time guide, because that's what people would use the Nintendo DS and they would receive, like, wait times and information regarding the theme park. And I think I can't imagine why they wouldn't take elements that you had seen in VMK, in essence, and kind of bring them to your Nintendo DS. I mean, to me, that seems like a match made in heaven. But, you know, I'm not a programmer. I don't do that kind of stuff. That's Doobie's the programmer. But
I'm a programmer. That's what I do.
Before I give it back
our
to Doobie.
Our second favorite IT guy, because apparently our first is Ryan.
Before we go to Doobie, I'm going to start. My new thing is I'm going to add a Walt quote every week. I have this big, thick book of Walt quotes.
What's a picnic without beer?
God bless them. Oh, that's a Roy quote.
And this is a quote about Disneyland.
It's funny, because that's like the number one quote in my Roy Disney famous quote book.
Disneyland is like Alice stepping through the looking glass. To step through the portals of Disneyland will be like entering another world.
That's beautiful.
And but not the Lost World, that's at Jurassic Park.
I forgot to mention what the holidays that we're supposed to be celebrating.
Well, correct that.
I shall correct that.
Rectify that.
Today is National Sibling Day. Tomorrow, you know, you may want to hang out on Main Street USA because it's, or go get a haircut because it's a barbershop quartet day.
Oh, do you think the Dapper Dans know?
You should tell them.
I should tell them. Is like Dapper Dans at Disney.com? Dapper Dans at Disney.com? And finally, folks, I just wanted to say that Rebecca and I went to Aquatica this week.
Aquatica!
It's a part of their grand opening. If you're not familiar with Aquatica, it is the newest theme park here in Central Florida.
But not better than
Wait, 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 wait. Theme park? I think that...
Oh, yeah, water park. Water park. Theme park. Themed water park. Water park with a theme. What?
I didn't say.
And,
I was just going to say, Kiora Tattoo. Isn't that what you're supposed to say there?
The plane.
No. No, it was fun.
It was cool. It's right across the street from SeaWorld.
Yep.
I'll tell you what I liked and what I didn't like. It's got a nice theme.
Australian, is it not?
South Seas. Yeah.
It's got, we didn't ride anything, so with the caveat, this is all by looking.
Because that's the best way to judge a park.
It was a grand opening.
It was a grand opening. We were there to film it, so didn't exactly come waterproof.
The fast-moving
river.
River. Lazy River, which is kind of an oxymoron, looked really, really cool.
It looked like fun.
The dolphins, being able to just walk and see the dolphins and some of the other wildlife that's there is really cool. So the lazy river that goes by the fish tank, really cool. The free food we got for being media, really cool and tasty. Can't say that. The food that we experienced there, or maybe even ate, was really good.
We experienced it. And they do have the chocolate cherry cake that I used to drive all the way to San Diego for from
which
LA.
Happy's a big fan of.
Yeah, totally.
Which is so sad, because it will kill him.
It's not like dark chocolate.
Oh yeah, it is.
Oh, never
can't
mind. Happy.
Happy.
Sorry.
No chocolate for Happy.
But so overall, it's a good park.
Carob.
I didn't like. It was a little bit disappointing. Maybe my hopes were just too high, but I thought this was going to be the Central Florida water park. And to my mind, it's a very, very, very good city water park, but it doesn't even come close to an experience like Typhoon Lagoon, which to me is just the most non-water park water park I've personally been to. It feels like going to a theme park based on water, not. I'm also surprised that given that it's not that, it also doesn't have any really extreme slides at all. Nor does it have something like a Crush and Gusher, like Typhoon Lagoon has. So I figure it's got to be one or the other, either extremely themed or extremely thrilled. And its specialty, I guess, the thing that sets it apart is the fact that you actually have real wildlife there. But the tube through the Commerce and Dolphins, we stood at the exit for a while, and all you could hear was people saying back and forth, did you see anything? No. Did you see anything? No. Because you just go through so fast.
Well, it's a water tube.
Right.
It's a water tube, so it's pitch black dark until you get to the clear acrylic part with the dolphins, and it's a water slide, so you have water in your face as well as that transition from light to from dark to light. So, and dolphins aren't going to just sit there and wait for you. They're right. going to be swimming around.
It's a large tank. So it's still, it struck me as kind of odd that
But it's still cool.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's
people
cool.
loved it.
Yeah,
no.
to be underwater and, like, see
yeah.
through,
no, it was
I'm
cool.
sure it's quite neat.
But
yeah.
it's just, it still struck me as odd that given that this theme park, this water park is the one that's SeaWorld, that's based on, you know, the fact that there's real marine life there, the actual best marine life encounter attraction at a water park is still at Typhoon Lagoon with Shark Reef. So...
But you actually swim with the
yeah,
fish.
Yeah,
right.
we really do swim with the fish.
And
I'm surprised they didn't do not in the ultimate way.
Okay.
So I'm kind of surprised they didn't do something like that as a part of Aquatica. I think that would have been a big help.
Well, here's a question. Like, I remember by grand opening time, they do have everything technically finished at this point.
That we could tell, yeah.
Okay.
They didn't tell us otherwise.
Because at one point in time, I remember like the wave pools and everything weren't exactly operational.
The wave pools were really nice looking.
Yeah, both wave pools were open.
To me, like from what I've seen, from what I've heard of Aquatica, it seems more just like technologically it's quite like up there. I mean, it may not be sort of fully themed. I mean, it's definitely like a water park, but it seems like the features that it has, it's very just, you know, kind of up to date, as it were.
What features?
Well, they have their special wave pool area. They have a, because it's like two dual wave pools. One is like the full action waves, which I believe, or I mean, I think they're around the same size as Typhoon Lagoons.
Right.
I don't think they're any bigger or smaller.
Right.
And while the other side does the more bobbing, rounded waves. And you have the lazy river, which is the not so lazy river.
That's
you've
cool.
got you've got the animals in there. I mean, it just seems like it's not a hardcore, I guess you could say, theme. It's just it's small, but you know, interesting variety package, I guess you could say.
What I haven't been, but from the pictures, I was expecting something a lot more lush than, I mean, granted, the trees haven't grown in probably, right. But it just looks very hot. I mean, it's just.
That was surprising. It wasn't. Even though the walkways there are, to my mind, twice as wide as what you find at Typhoon Lagoon walking around. And so, therefore, I think it's going to be a more difficult concept to get a lush feel because by a narrow walkway, you automatically kind of already feel somewhat closed in by the trees on either side of you, whereas when you have that wide walkway, you don't have that same thing.
And also, you have to take time into consideration because I remember when, like, Expedition Everest opened, the whole beginning of the ride looked like you were going through a garden, but
yeah,
that's completely
exactly.
changed now.
Yeah, but, I mean, what I'm saying is it's not like there's small trees. It's just – no, I mean, just from pictures, it just seems like I would expect more trees and
yeah,
more.
That wasn't the type – that's not the type of – landscaping that it appears that they're going with. They went with very tall, stately palms.
And that's fine, but it's just that the early images that they gave off gave a very
right. Oh no, a
different impression. And so when you see it on the tree, you know, driving by, it doesn't look impressive from the outside.
But yeah, and I would hesitate to say it's not impressive. I think it is an impressive water park.
No, and I don't mean I'm just saying is that it doesn't come. It's I agree with Juby. I thought that it was going to be a game changer when it came down to water parks. And
I agree
in the
with you.
Pictures, right. It does not appear that way because it is a nice water park. It's not unthemed, but it's not overly themed. It doesn't have any game changing water slides.
I would agree. There's no question. It's not a game changer, and I expected that as well. That said, we heard a lot of guests there, and this was a crowded day. And I think pretty universally people were very happy. People really enjoyed the park.
And when you look at websites like TripAdvisor and places like that where people can review, it's getting solid reviews. There's been a few people who have mentioned it didn't measure up to their Disney experience. I think one or two have mentioned that.
Right.
But most of the stuff I saw was really good. Another thing that I learned that day was the way that SeaWorld has changed. Because growing up for me, SeaWorld was kind of like science class with a bit of entertainment. And now really, it's much more the concept is education by introduction. So it isn't so much that they want you to leave there knowing about killer whales or orca. They want you to leave there feeling an affinity for orca and therefore carry that conservation message home of what can I do to make sure that I don't negatively impact orca or their life and that kind of thing. And so it's just it's a different thing than how I grew up. And honestly, it's going to take me a little bit to shift with that because I was very interested in marine mammals growing up. And so I enjoyed going to the show and hearing, you know, here's the killer whale. And he would go around, you know, he has 32 canonical teeth and he would open his mouth. And I might have the wrong number, but that's my memory. And he would go around with his mouth wide open, Shamu. And then, you know, here's his pectoral fin. Here's his dorsal fin. And it's just not, it's not
that. You are so lucky that this does not have video.
It's not that type of thing anymore. Now that you go to the dolphin show and it's the story of a little girl who has this dream, and she dives into the water and she swims with the dolphins, and then she flies up in the with a harness, and there's a lady dressed up in a bird, a acrobatic costume, and there's guys who dive, and you know, and pretty much, and there's this big condor that sweeps out over the crowd and whatever, and I mean, and you don't even know what these animals are when the show's over, but yet you've seen them, and therefore you're developing an affinity for them and whatnot.
See, here's my problem, though. Believe is not entertaining. And therefore, if you're going to go entertainment route, I can respect that. But if you're not going to do – if you're going to go that route, you need to make sure it is entertaining.
Blue Horizons is
however,
entertaining.
Blue Horizons is okay.
I was going to say, in all fairness, their hit-miss record for me is not that much different than Disney Creative Entertainment's.
I agree, but I don't think we are satisfied. First of all,
and I don't know enough people at SeaWorld to know whether or not they are satisfied.
But here's also the other thing is Disney Creative Entertainment. What's at the Hyperion or Theater in the Wild which is 50-50 for me at least, is not as important to the Disney brand as the Shamu show is to SeaWorld.
And I think that's what's
scary. You got to be very, very careful when you start messing with the Shamu show because you can't make that bad.
And I don't know that it is perceived by others to be as the same way it is for
I've
us.
I've never really heard any, like, from when I've seen, when I'm in the park, I can't hear anything but glowing stuff from the people around
and
me.
And by the number of kids who bother to go buy the necklace based upon the story in that show, seems to me that it's connecting with a lot of people. It didn't connect with the three of us, I know. I don't know about Captain.
Not really either.
But I think, I suspect, based upon just, you know, what I've overheard wandering the parks, that it actually does have a solid guest response.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say it doesn't, but I can only talk about me personally because it's not Disney. And I don't have the insight I do to Disney. But for me, Believe is bad. I mean, I like Shamu Rocks.
Their numbers are up, though.
But I'm not talking about from there. I'm talking about from a personal experience.
No, but I'm saying you were saying don't mess with the brand, and I'm saying I think that based on the numbers, it's clear they've improved the brand.
Right, but I'm talking about for me, they've messed with the brand, and
yeah, but you're just one person. You don't
I know, but it, well, I do because I have a microphone. But they, but I mean, the thing is that. You know, I've seen the necklaces and I've seen people like it, but I think it's missing something. And I think if you're going to go the entertainment route, I think Believe 2.0 or whatever they decide to do with, you know, take where they take it to the next level by not just having Shamu jump up and down interacting with some badly dressed trainers, is to take it to a really entertaining spot. Like Shamu Rocks, I think, is a much, much, much more enjoyable show. And not just because it's louder. I think it's just a better produced show.
Again, it's in the long run. Everybody likes it, but the four of us here, so there's no point.
I don't know that everybody likes it, but I'm saying
when it goes by their audience, what they're trying to they know their audience.
But
at
for
this
like
point.
An example, like everybody loves Wishes, but that's probably because most of them haven't seen Believe. And know that you can do it better. And I'm saying is I think what SeaWorld will do very well with whatever they replace Believe with. That's all I'm saying.
I understand that. I can – yeah. And I think that Believe was the first step in where the Shamu show will go. Yeah. I totally agree. I totally agree with you there. And I think the hard part for me is that Believe followed Blue Horizons here in Orlando. I don't know if I would have had as a reception of Believe if I hadn't have seen Blue Horizons, because quite frankly, I don't know the standard of the bar for me that was raised tremendously with what they were able to accomplish with Blue Horizons. It's not my taste as far as what I wish SeaWorld was doing, but as far as entertainment value, it's phenomenal.
Right, and I agree with you. And for me, coming from a Disney's Animal Kingdom background, where conservation, even on the entertainment, is a player in right. all of it, I like that. I like that it has an overarching sort of, you know, even when you're being entertained, there is sort of a message there, not hitting you over the head with it.
Right.
However, I think we need to remember that all of this stuff really doesn't matter, just as long as Sea Lions Tonight is able to mock it.
Well, did you know?
And this year they're adding a nighttime ski show.
Oh yeah, we are so there.
Oh yeah,
so there.
Wow, so you realize that SeaWorld is like infinitely better at night.
Oh, I love SeaWorld at night.
Do you think their ski show is going to be SeaWorld as good as the one at IOA last year?
I hope more so. And then they've also next month they're going to be announcing further information on their coaster that they're adding, which they call an up close.
It's a flying coaster, I believe.
Yeah, and they're calling it an up-close experience with creatures or something like that.
It's titled Manta, I believe.
Right. And like, you're going to be able to like go over a manta ray pool and stuff. I mean, there's more information out there than SeaWorld released.
Well, because I think the nature of the type of coaster it is that because you're lying on your stomach.
Right.
Because the flying coaster, I'm sure they'll try to sort of, you know, make the coaster kind of swoop over. Well, an
what's interesting is that when they talk about it, they say it's coaster-like. But that there's a lot more to it,
right.
Which I think, you know, I think is, I don't want to say response to Kraken, but it's an evolution where Kraken is just a roller coaster and they themed it to a sea monster.
Yes.
But this is actually going to be part of SeaWorld, just like I think the the Hollywood coaster, whatever they call it, and Universal is taking, you know, trying to get a build its brand through this coaster. And I like both of those ideas because it's things that only those parks can do.
And as Disney fans, I think we should be very, very excited by what we're seeing. We've seen Busch Entertainment move their headquarters to Orlando. And it appears that both Universal and SeaWorld, and Busch Entertainment, have a really solid grasp on where they are in the marketplace. And I think that that's really going to strengthen what they offer. And as that happens, it only forces other people. Yeah, I mean, and look at what Kennedy Space Center just did with the shuttle launch experience that they have there. I mean, that's amazing as well. So it's just, it's really exciting for Central Florida and Disney fans to see this competition, because it's only going to bring better experiences for all of us.
Because I think there's a difference between building another theme park, which would be competition, and theme parks just adding new attractions and experiences, because you're not taking a day away, you're just offering something else. Mm-hmm. And I think competition is, you know, the strength of any market. So I look forward, not only just as a Disney fan looking what Disney might build, but Disaster was a great ride. I look forward to going on Simpsons. Mm-hmm. I look forward to this nighttime stuff at SeaWorld this year.
And going down to Jungala and see what they've done down there in Tampa.
Which actually
Harry Potter land.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have fun. I mean,
it'll
all that
really,
stuff.
It'll be
the
really
new bridge that they're building between Jurassic Park and Lost Continent. I can't wait.
And we spend more time at City Walk than we could ever admit to.
Only because we have to.
Podcast at laughingplace.com?
Sure.
866-718-9408. Or post a message on the discussion boards. I think we're done today, folks. Thank you so much. This is the ultimate comment in the LPP this week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.